Good morning and welcome to worship. Today our Easter celebration continues with the comfort and confidence that God planned Easter from all eternity. A mystery we have a hard time wrapping our minds around, a plan that God himself planned and carried out perfectly in his Son, our Savior Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection. We will explore that theme in greater detail during the lessons and also during the sermon for today. Just one note about the service. On page 9, the choir is going to introduce a new hymn for us and as the choir anthem for today. So if you would like to have the supplements handy and open to number 722, you can follow along as they beautify worship this morning, praise God, and also introduce that song. So if you would like to have the supplements handy for the choir anthem. With those announcements, we open worship by singing together hymn 145. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 4 in the worship booklet. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. In the first lesson, St. Paul makes the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament faith and the New Testament faith, the Old Testament Savior, the New Testament Savior. The connection that Paul makes is Jesus and his victory over the grave, his resurrection from the dead. The first lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 24. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets, and have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin, unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." This is the word of the Lord. Please note special directions on how we will sing the psalm today. My side, the lectern side, will sing the first half, and then the pulpit side will respond with the second half of the verse. Second lesson for the day will be the basis for my sermon. In this lesson, St. Paul applies Jesus' resurrection to our lives and the confidence we have before God as we live for him. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as stranger here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24. In this lesson, Jesus comforts two of his disciples with the eternal comfort he planned before the beginning of time. He comforts them with the good news that he lives. And he didn't have to make something new up. He took them to the scriptures and comforted them. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, those with them, assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Have you ever had one of those shoulda, coulda, woulda moments? You didn't see it coming. It blindsided you, knocked you off your feet, knocked you off your plan. You should have seen it coming, but you didn't. And now you're having the shoulda, coulda, wouldn't moment. Shoulda. You're regretting that you didn't do something different or that things worked out the way that they did, and I should have done something else. Coulda means I know I could have done better. It wasn't beyond me to do something. I just didn't do it, so I coulda. Woulda, that's where you're playing out all the different alternatives in your mind. And if this would have happened, then this would have happened. If this would have happened, then this would have happened. And who knows if any of that would have happened. But you got blindsided. So shoulda, coulda, woulda. That happens in football quite a bit. Especially to quarterbacks. They don't see it coming. They're looking one way. The hit comes from the other way. And the quarterback gets clobbered. And then he goes back to the huddle, and he starts chewing out the lineman. You should have seen this coming. You should have done something about that. You could have done something about that. I've seen you do it before. It was in the scouting report. You could have made that block. And if you would have made that block, I would have thrown downfield, and we would have got a first down. And the lineman is thinking, and he's only thinking, because the linemen don't get to chew out the quarterback. The lineman is only thinking, you should have felt that coming. You could have known he was coming. It was in the scouting report. And if you would have stepped up into the pocket, then you could have thrown for a first down. That'll come out on Monday morning as they're watching film. But for now, it's a shoulda, coulda, woulda blame game. Another one that I thought of, what about Paul Revere? What if Paul Revere didn't see it coming? Maybe he was sleeping, he was carousing at the pub with the boys, or he was looking the wrong way. What would we be saying about Paul Revere today? He should have seen it coming, but he didn't because he was sleeping. He could have warned everybody, but he didn't because he was out carousing with his friends. He should have been looking where the British were coming from, but he wasn't. And so he got blindsided, and we got blindsided. Can you imagine what life would be like for us today, potentially, if Paul Revere didn't see it coming? And maybe that happens on the job site, too. I don't know. I've never been a construction manager, site manager, but I've watched enough Apprentice to know how this works. Somebody is in charge, and somebody is supposed to see all this stuff coming. And then the regional manager comes on site and says, you should have been on top of these things. You could have avoided this whole lawsuit had you done this, 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 and this. I know you're capable of doing this. You should have read up on the law. You should have pulled these permits. You should have checked the codes. And you could have avoided this lawsuit. You didn't see it coming, and now you've busted the budget. Right? And all he's left with is coulda, shoulda, woulda. Well, what if Jesus didn't see it coming? What if God was caught off guard? What would our songs be like this morning? What would our lessons be like? What kind of a sermon would I be able to throw together for you today if God did not see it coming and was blindsided by the opposition? Well, I guess if we're going to talk that hypothetical, we need to define for ourselves this morning, what is it? What are we talking about? St. Peter puts it in this way in the second lesson. He's talking about being blindsided by the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. You know, what if God were planning to take all of us home to heaven? Everybody that he ever made, any life he ever created. And then one day it dawns on him. You know, wait a minute. These people are born sinful. These people do things and think things and value things I told them not to do and I told them not to say and I tell them not to value, but they do it anyway. And then they come up with these weird little remedies on how they're going to fix this. Right? Let's just bury our heads in the sand and we'll pretend Judgment Day is never going to happen. Let's make up some of our own rules and excuses and then tell God why he shouldn't send us to hell, why God shouldn't care about our sin. But that doesn't get them anywhere with me, because these people are still under the empty way of life handed down to them from their forefathers, and based on the rules that I have set up, the laws that I have made, and the judgment I said I'm going to enforce, I have to send these people to hell. What if God never saw that coming? What if God were blindsided by the empty way of life that was handed down to you and handed down to me? But God wasn't blindsided by any of this. He did know that one day you and I were going to have to face death. He knew that you and I, as Peter says, one day we're going to have to stand before God's impartial judgment throne. And don't ask me to explain any of this to you, because I can't, and we wouldn't get anywhere today. But before the beginning of time, before all creation, God hatched a plan to deal with this. Even before the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers even got going on the opposition, God took care of it. Before there was a need, God met the need in his plan to send Jesus. Here's how Peter says it. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. I don't know how that's possible, but I know it's the reality. God blindsided the opposition before the opposition even got going. God carried out his plan of salvation before there was even a need for his plan of salvation. And it cost him quite a bit, didn't it? Ever since Adam and Eve, people were born into this world sinful. They were born into this world for need of forgiveness, somebody to release them from their guilt, somebody to put them on the path to heaven, and Jesus paid that price. He shed his blood. He sacrificed himself. Peter said it, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. Would you have thought of that? To fix a problem before there even was a problem? To blindside the opposition before the opposition even got going? God saw it coming, and he blindsided the opposition for you and for me. And then he blindsided you. And isn't that a good thing? Because what sort of remedies would you have come up with to deal with what Peter calls the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers? I suppose you could go scout the opposition. That seems like a good thing to do. And then you come back with your report and you'd say, okay, people, we're up against a strong opponent today. Strong weapons, we have nothing to fight back. We have no way to defend ourselves. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to lose anyway. Go out there, give it your best. It's not going to matter what you do. I suppose we could make those preparations. We could also say, okay, here are our excuses today. We are going to tell God that he should turn a blind eye to everything we've done. And then we're going to give the rationale for what we've done. And then we're going to hope that he takes it into consideration, and none of it's going to work. But that's the plan. And then I suppose we could get proactive, right? We could have our remedies. We could go out there and round up the 2.5 billion people who don't even care about God at all. And we'll get those people together and we'll throw them under the bus of God's judgment. And then we'll watch God send those people to hell. And then we'll each go get a really rotten neighbor. And then we'll take all those really rotten, sinful, mean, horrible people, and we'll throw them under the bus of God's judgment. And then we'll watch while God sends all those people to hell. And then where do you go next? You go to the prisons, and you get all the horrible, despicable people who have done very terrible things, and then we'll throw those people under the bus of God's judgment. And we'll hope that by the time he gets to us, he's got all that judgment out of his system, and there's no more punishment for sin left. And then we'll go out and we'll take a survey, a public opinion poll. And then we'll make up our own set of rules based on those morals and those values and what is permissible. And then we'll go ahead and live according to those rules. And then we'll tell God, hey, God, look what we've done for you. We've lived according to our own rules. And where does any of that get you? That takes God completely out of the picture. And it puts your hope of forgiveness, it puts your hope of a relationship with God now, it puts your hope of heaven, your hope of the resurrection in you. And you've done nothing to deal with the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. You've done nothing to prepare yourselves to go before God's impartial judgment. Thank God he blindsided you with the good news and the love of Jesus. God saw it coming and he did something for you. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. God hatched this plan from the beginning without consulting you. God took care of these things from the beginning and he didn't ask me for help. He did this in spite of us. He did this for us because we couldn't do any of this. God looks at us and he sees the emptiness. We have nothing to offer him on our own. And so he fills us up with the perfect life that his son lived for us, that was planned from all eternity. And then we go before God's impartial judgment throne and he sees the perfect life his son lived for us. And God says about you, in my opinion, you are fit for heaven. In my judgment, you are perfect. And you are holy because of the life my son lived for you. And then he takes all of your blemishes and all of my defects and he put them on his son. And he punished Jesus for our sins, for our defects, and for our blemishes. And then when we go before God's impartial judgment throne, he looks at us and he sees that our punishment has been paid for. And that our sins have been paid for, our guilt has been taken away by Jesus. And he says, in my opinion, you are fit for heaven. In my judgment, you are not guilty because your sins have been paid for in Jesus. He sent his son to redeem us, to buy our way to heaven, to free us from our guilt, to free us from our sin, to pay for salvation for us. God saw it coming and blindsided the opposition for us, and then he blindsides us with the good news of what his son has done for us. And isn't that really what sets us free to live for him today in confidence? Do you happen to remember how Peter begins this letter? The people to whom he's writing, he calls God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Asia Minor, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. These are people who are already holy in God's eyes, people who already have been called by God, already been made holy by the Holy Spirit, fully forgiven through Jesus. Peter says, now go and live like you are. The encouragement from our text today goes like this. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time here as foreigners here in reverent fear. Notice that Peter's not talking about being afraid of God. When we hear this fear, that's not fearing God's judgment. That's not, I better clean up or God's going to clean me out. Why does Peter say you can live in reverent fear? It's not because you're afraid that God's going to get you if you don't keep his commandments. He says, because your sins have been paid for in Jesus. Because God has bought you back and made you his own. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you're going to heaven someday. So now honor God. Live your lives for God in reverent fear of everything he's done for you. Maybe based on this whole blindside concept, maybe that looks today like live your lives with your head on a swivel. God very clearly tells you how to live. The confirmands are going to share it with you today. He says, love me. Love me with your whole self. And love your neighbor as yourself. Then he puts a little more meat on those bones. And he says, here are 10 ways to do that. Not because you're afraid that I'm going to punish you if you don't, but because I have loved you from all eternity in Jesus. And so we need to live with our heads on a swivel, because do you think the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers wants you back? Yeah, it does. And does that empty way look pretty appealing sometimes? Yes, it does. So head on a swivel, constantly evaluating every choice you make, everything you say, everything that you value, because God valued you first. And he now says, go and live for me. He also says, live as foreigners here in reverent fear. That's a reminder that life, with all of its setbacks and with all of its heartaches and all its difficulties and all of your celebrations and all of your good times and all of your victories, this is not where life ends for us. God has something bigger for us. God has prepared something better for us. And he has shared that with us through his word. He says, because Jesus rose from the grave, you are going to rise from the grave. Because I have glorified my Son, I am going to glorify you. Because Jesus lives, you're going to live forever in heaven. So Peter's encouragement, live your lives in reverent fear, because God has set you free in Jesus. Live your lives like God has loved you with an eternal love, because he has. Live as foreigners here, as if one day you get to go to heaven with God forever, because you do. God saw it coming and took care of everything for you. Amen. Please stand. We take a moment to encourage one another by reminding each other what God's plan was and who our God is. We do so with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we worship our God with our offering.
For the prayer of the church this morning, we will use the responsive prayer for the Easter season. This prayer is found on page 126 in the front part of the Red Hymnal, Christian Worship, page 126. We pray. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost. Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people, standing before your throne and singing the song of victory. Make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures. Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with a hope of eternal life. Dear Heavenly Father, we also entrust our confirmation students to you this morning. We thank you that the Word of God that they have studied, that the gift you have shared with them through their baptisms, has grown into a strong faith that they are ready to confess before you and our congregation today. We ask that you bless the witness that they share and grant them a lifetime of learning and growth through your Word and through the sacraments. We ask that you bless them as they receive the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning for the first time. May it bind them closer to each other as a class, closer to our congregation, and ultimately closer to you. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say, we continue by making our preparation to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, You did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here today to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
shed for you upon the cross for the remission, the sending away of your sin. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord, your Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you upon the cross for the remission of all of your sins. May this, your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with God. Go in peace with him. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Our service continues on page 15 with the Song of Simeon. Please stand.
Thank you.
give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Again, Easter blessings to you all. May you rejoice and go live for your God in reverent fear and bring glory to his name now and forever when we join him in heaven. There are a lot of announcements in the bulletin. Please take a look at those, especially with school enrollment season well underway. Take a look at those, please. Vacation Bible School enrollment is open online. If you are going to participate, if you have a child to participate, or if you would like to volunteer, the more people we get registered early, the better. So please be aware of those. Also, the examination will take place in the sanctuary starting at 9:30. There are 6 who will be confirmed today, so please stick around and support them. And if you'd like to go have a coffee and come back for the rite of confirmation, then you can enjoy some cake and some fellowship out in the Rose Garden and support those confirmands and wish them well. So that will take place during the Bible study hour and then after the second service. An announcement that I did not get in the bulletin: the teen youth group is going to get together this Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the Peterson home. Do not eat before you come. We're going to eat, and then we'll play games and just enjoy each other's company. This Friday, 6:30, please let me or Annika Peterson know if you can attend so that they can make those plans and preparations. And finally, this last week I received a call to California Lutheran, and I'd like to read an acknowledgement letter to you. Dear friends in the Lord Jesus, members and friends of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, in his grace, love, and mercy, God has called me to be his servant in the public ministry. I've been privileged to be called by the Lord through you to serve you with the good news of Jesus as your pastor for the past 4.5 years. On Tuesday, April 29th, I received a divine call from the California Lutheran High School Association Board of Directors to serve as campus pastor at California Lutheran High School in Wildomar, California. As I prayerfully deliberate both of my calls, the call I presently hold to serve you and the call to serve our Lutheran High School Association and the students at California Lutheran High School, I find comfort and confidence in the Lord's grace, and you can as well, that all things are in His hands. I ask you to please keep the association, of which we as a congregation are members, so keep the associations, the high school, the student family, our church family here at St. Mark's, my family, and me in your prayers as this deliberation takes place. Join me in asking our Heavenly Father that He glorifies His name and furthers His kingdom through this process. So honestly, with examination and confirmation, I haven't given a whole lot of thought to any of this. So maybe in the weeks ahead, I would welcome your comments and your feedback. So something to pray about and something to thank God for. Those are the announcements that I have. Welcome to our guests and visitors. We are pleased to be able to share the Easter celebration with you. Please feel free to greet one another as you are worshiped out.